I'm going to read a short story, and in the interest of time, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read the beginning and then the end. So I'm going to sort of fast forward through the middle and just try to give you a little summary about what happens there. Also, on the page, there are imaginings, which are italicized, and obviously you can't see those. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise my hand when it's italicized, and therefore you will know that this is an imagined portion. How to Eat to Live. Julia worked at Grocery Warehouse 5 days a week, and Mondays were her favorite. Not favorite, she thought, glancing over the schedule. Least awful. On Mondays, she had always had the same single, repetitive responsibility. Samples. Today, Julia was frying cod. She plugged in the electric stovetop. The power indicator blinked red. It reminded her of the bulky answering machine she kept half buried on her kitchen counter at home. Occasionally, fishing bills out of the piles of junk mail, she would unveil it, its red light winking up at her. She considered depressing the message button and letting the endless quips, requests, and complaints unfurl. Or worse, she knew, the messages filled with silence, the click of a receiver. She had changed her answering machine message. At one time, she had been very specific about who she was, the consequences and rewards of leaving a detailed message. But it was the barrage of automated messages, the calls with no caller, that had changed her. The phone would ring, offering the promise of someone on the other end. Hello, she had asked. Hear the long pause. The warranty on your car has expired. However, it is not too late to purchase additional coverage for your vehicle. If you would like to be connected to one of our representatives, please press 1. The automated voice droned. Now she was vague. She hoped callers would become bewildered and frustrated, as she had, and that they would hang up, that the answering machine might document their gradual forgetting. Julia poured oil into the pan. Too much, already resigned to the promise of the pan spitting oil at her all day. She was ever conscious that making his way, clipboard in hand, through the aisles was Henry. She had been measuring his increasing closeness, and now her heartbeat began to quicken. He was walking with Pam. Henry's hair glistened under the fluorescent lights. Pam's, Julia noticed, did too. Henry was whistling, and Julia had almost made out the tune when Pam turned her shiny face towards him and began laughing, loudly, punctuated only with the hiccups of her gasp for air. Her dark brown skin was almost blue at this distance, and even all the way in her corner of the warehouse, Julia could see Pam's heavy, wide-set hips swinging. Henry was at the perfect distance now to inspect without drawing attention. Though he was wearing the same red apron, 2 pens lodged in the front pocket, the same white dress shirt, bow tie, as always, as everyone, he looked regal, distinguished. It was that his clothing, she finally decided, was always crisp. At night, Henry lifted up one of Julia's hands. She had thin fingers with pointy joints, her skin translucent as tissue paper. In the low lights, his hands looked like enormous olive-colored shadows. She watched him lift her hands, run a finger up and down her palms. He put her palm up to his lips and held it there. She lifted her hand from his mouth, traced his eyebrows with 1 thin finger. She settled her head onto his chest. Okay, now I'm going to fast forward. So we have some awkward interactions between Henry and Julia, where Julia tries her darndest to talk to Henry, but in every instance, at the last minute, is unable to. And so I'm going to take her to their first conversation and then through the end of the story. Julia opened the bag and let 3 hard, cold chunks of fish fall out into the pan. Julia poked at one of the fillets, thinking how it had more in common now with a fish, or less with a fish and more with a stone.
Swim fishy, she giggled.
What? A voice asked her. Julia felt her chest seize. She knew it was him, and there was nothing she could do now. Still staring into the pan, Julia mumbled, I said,
Swim fishies.
What did you say? I didn't hear you, Henry asked again. She felt him leaning towards her, although she still could not look up. Swim fishies! The words echoed off the boxes, cement floors, glass refrigerator doors. Julia looked up at Henry. She had done it. She had spoken to Henry. She felt a fluttering in her chest, her whole body buzzing with vibration.
I'm not sure what you mean, Miss Hull.
Henry's words were slow. However, I am pleased to tell you that you have been selected to teach cooking lessons tonight, during tonight's Better Living event. Julia held her breath. She wondered if he noticed that she was shaking. Pam can give you the information you need, Henry said and added after a pause. Do you understand? Julia wanted to say yes, but she was afraid that the words would come out too loud again, or too softly, that he might say what again, and again stare at her as though she were tugging her internal organs out through her mouth. Henry's mouth moved briefly into a frown before he walked away. Julia felt dizzy. In the evening, over the mumble of the baseball game, she asked Henry if he loved her. He lifted up her shirt and kissed her on the stomach. Her stomach was littered with freckles. Do you think we should have children? Julia asked. Of course, said Henry, and swept her into an embrace, his face pressed against her stomach. Julia glanced over the Better Living event menu. At the top of the page, a sketchy illustration of two smiling faces beamed out at her. She cut garlic cloves into little round slices and sauteed them in olive oil. The slices looked like little pale faces. She cut up broccoli and asparagus. She put it into a colander to steam it. It's important, she said to shoppers, paused and gaping, to turn off the heat just before the garlic is finished cooking. In the pan, the garlic browned. When's it going to be ready? A lady in a bright purple tunic asked. We'll come back. At the very moment Julia spotted Henry at the end of refrigerated foods, her pasta timer sounded. She heaved the pot over the sink and poured the water out. There were no shoppers around to watch. This time, she told herself, she would know what to say. A little water splashed her skin. Ouch, she complained. Henry was only a few feet from her now. Can I give you a hand with that? Henry asked. Julia thought. I will say hello. I'm Julia. Call me Julia. I'm sorry about earlier. I love fish, don't you? Isn't it a nice day today? Isn't it? But suddenly she saw his hand was coming swiftly towards her. She jumped back, dropping the pot. Pasta spilled across the floor. Oh, said Henry and stepped towards her. Julia turned. There was the bathroom, and suddenly her legs were carrying her swiftly towards it. She moved quickly into a stall and closed the latch. Never again, Julia said to herself. She slapped her palms on the stall walls and listened to the clean sound of the smack. On the bus ride home, Julia reimagined everything. What if he had grabbed her hand? What if they had set down the pot together? What if he had pulled her close to him? What if he had run a finger up and down her palms? What if he had put her palm up to his lips and held it there? What if he had said, I need to see you, have you now? What if he had said, of course, and swept her into an embrace? Julia stood at her stove. She remembered the weight of the pot, Henry's hand reaching out towards her. She ran her fingers across the stovetop. It was cold. She removed the metal grill and turned the stovetop till the top curled with blue flame. She moved her hand toward the flame and felt encroaching waves of heat. Julia held her breath. She thought of his hand reaching out for hers. She lowered her hand into the flame and watched the flame meet the skin, one give way to the other, an arch and sway. A wave swept through her, a whirling, something like a light being snapped on inside of her, her vision briefly obscured by the flash. She forced her hand into the sink water. Her hand looked like a strange animal submerged in a cloudy brown water, crammed between dishes. As she withdrew it, she felt the excruciating burn of the air on her wet skin. Her body reeled, began to fold back on itself. Julia held the wrist of her burnt hand, pointing it away from her but also cradling it. She sat down on the kitchen floor and leaned her back against the oven. The gas on the stovetop gave a low, steady whistle. Thank you.